Psalms 86. Y'all pray for Brother Mike today as he's away preaching. Brother Jamie is in Albania. Pray for him. And we got a sweet spirit in the church this morning. Aren't you glad we got a God we can run to? Most folks is running from Him, but He wants us to run to Him. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. You say, how come He's got to bow down? Because He's a lot higher than we are. We're a lot lower than He is. Our problem today in our culture, we feel like God is beneath us. But we are beneath God. God is above. And the psalmist says, Lord, bow down thine ear. Aren't you glad He's got an ear that can hear? He said, oh Lord, I want You to hear my brother and sister, but oh God, I want You to hear me. I got something that I need to say. Look what he says. For I am poor and needy. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for the grace of God. We thank You for a Bible that's still right. We thank You for the house of God that we can come together and experience Your presence today. Now I pray that You let preaching be easy. I ask You to use me to be a blessing to this congregation this morning. Help my life, help my family, help these people, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask You. Amen. And amen. Psalmist David said, for I am poor and needy. I want to preach on this subject this morning on why I need God. Why I need God. We live in a society that has the mindset that they no longer need God. But the Lord has left us a Bible. And by the way, some old man in a corner didn't write the Bible just to leave to us that we may read on our leisure. The Spirit of God moved in the days of old as holy men wrote the Word of God down. God wrote a Bible to teach me and you how to live and how to get to heaven in this day, in this hour. Why I need God. I want to say four reasons this morning on why I need God. First of all, because of sin's curse. Secondly, because of sin's cost. And then, because of sin's craze. Then, because of sin's conflict. Sin is a bad thing. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, the psalmist David said, Lord, I want You to bow down Your ear to me because I want You to hear me. And the main reason I want You to hear me is because I'm poor and needy. Now, let's look at this four things here this morning. And let's turn, if we could, first of all, to John 3:36. I'm going to go a little bit different direction today. Lord, why I need God. John 3 and verse 36. Watch your Bible. First of all, I need God because of the sinner's curse. Did you know that the reason that we do bad is because we have a bad nature? People amaze me that they feel like that they are above and beyond sin. They amaze me that they think that they are above somebody's level, maybe on a limb above them, that it's not in them to do wrong. But I want to remind everybody I'm preaching to this morning, by the way, this ain't the first time I've ever preached. I can tell you there's nobody in this building that is immune to sin this morning. It's a sin problem. When Adam fell in the garden, we inherited his bloodline. That's why the Bible said you must be born again. Why? Because we were born wrong the first time. But by the Spirit of God, you can be born right the second time. You must be born again. Now, why I need God is because of the sinner's curse. John 3, verse 36. You ever notice this? Underline it in your Bible. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Isn't that a blessing? And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But here's the verse. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Isn't that amazing? The wrath of God. We don't hear much about the wrath of God. But let me tell you, this God that we preach of, the God of love and the God of grace and the God of mercy, He's also a God of wrath. He's a jealous God. He said not to have any other gods before Him. We're not to take His name in vain. God is a God that reacts by wrath. Now, the reason that I need the Lord, not only am I poor and needy, but I have found out because of the sinner's curse, the best day that I wanted to do good and times that I wanted to do good, it was not in me to do good. But when I got saved by the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God came and dwelt in me, now He allows me to overcome many times the flesh and the world and the devil. And it's hard enough living for God with Him in you, much less living for God without Him. I need the Lord. Your family needs the Lord. Our community, our country needs the Lord. The sinner's curse. Now notice this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Do you believe in Christ? Have you been born again? Then the Bible teaches us that we have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. If you're not saved today, the wrath of God is upon your life. You're going to meet God and you're going to pay for your sins. You've got one or two options. Jesus took your sins on a cross. He died for your sins. May I say, God's wrath was poured upon His Son for your sin and my sin. Now we've got two options. We can live our way and do it the way of the world, or we can believe in Christ. Or there's coming a payday that we will pay for our sins. I sure am glad Jesus paid for my sins and I believed upon Him and it's been accounted to my benefit. No longer is the wrath of God abiding upon. Ain't that a blessing? You say, how come you know you're going to heaven? Because the Spirit of God lives in me. You know who that is? That's God. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, they all are one. This Bible says the day me and you were saved, the Spirit of God sealed us. He came to live within us, to tabernacle in us. You say, watch this now, this is real good right here. You say, Brother Ken, how you know you're going to heaven? Because the God that lives in me is leading me that way. I got God walking in there, and He's taking me to heaven. I couldn't take myself, but the God that lives in me is taking me to glory land. The God that lives in me, I'll tell you where He's headed. He's headed to heaven. You say, where are you headed? I'm headed to heaven. I'm going through the fire. I fight the flesh, the devil, the world every day of my life. But the God of the Bible lives in me and He's taking me to heaven one day. Lord, we're as Baptists, I'll allow the building and scare all the Methodists in town this morning. Some of you that are Methodists, you ought to allow the building and scare the Baptists this morning. Has God been good to you? I want to say today, the reason I need the Lord is because of the sinner's curse. Secondly, I tell you why I need the Lord is because of the sin's cost. Look in Romans chapter 1 today, Romans 1. I want to settle down. I want to teach a few things to our young people today and our older people alike. Psalmist David said, Lord, bow your ear down to me because I need you to hear me. For I sure am poor and needy. Now I want you to watch the progression of this Bible. And I want you to think about what I'm going to preach to you this morning, just a second, on why I need God. Not only because of the sinner's curse, I needed to be born again. I needed Christ to get me to heaven. You can work your fingers to the bone and die and go to hell. But this Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith. There is no other way except by the Lord Jesus Christ to get to heaven today. So I need the Lord because of the sinner's curse. I need the Lord because of sin's cost. Look in Romans 1:18. You don't hear much about this anymore. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Then he says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God said, first of all, He put a conscience in you. He gave us a God conscience. God put a void in us when He made us that only God will fulfill. You ever notice this, how you try to get peace and appease your soul? And can I tell you, there's nothing that will ever bring you peace except the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go out and you can buy this and buy that, and it holds up for a little while, but then it starts to rust and canker away. God created a vapor within us that only God can fill and can only God can satisfy. And therefore, in this teaching, we see the wrath of God is revealed. Now, He made man with a conscience. This Bible teaches us that we cannot always go by our conscience. It can become seared. It can become defiled. And we live in an economy that is living in a very seared conscience. Things don't bother America anymore. America don't blush anymore. And this is what's so sad. Even the church don't blush anymore. Now I want to say, the reason that I need the Lord is because of sin's cost. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven, look, against all ungodliness. Do you think, isn't this amazing? Now I'm 56 years old. Many of you are younger than me. Some of you are older than me today. But did you know when I was in the first grade, 1968, you never seen killing in schools. You never seen young'uns killing mom and daddies at home. You never seen abortion up on a rampage the way that it's going on in America. You never seen airplanes flying into buildings and killing thousands. Yet the liberals of the day say, it's not the wrath of God, for God is love. God is love, but God is balance. He's also a God of wrath. We will pay for our sin. Now notice this. Because of sin's cost. Now, God gave us a conscience. He said, you can know God, first of all, about your conscience. He said it is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Then secondly, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, people can look at creation and realize there is a God. God is amazing in the fall, the way He can paint this place in His beauty. It's amazing the way that it just turns barren in the winter and in the spring it starts to bud. How beautiful God's creation is. I get to go way up and tall in the mountains and preach, and I can look out across those mountaintops and I'm amazed at what God has done in His sovereignty and in His creation. We live in one of the prettiest places in this world, and it's not by accident. God created everything that we see this morning. It just didn't happen. God is our Creator. And therefore, the reason I need the Lord, yes, I'm poor and needy, but I need the Lord because of the sinner's curse. I need the Lord because of sin's cost. The wrath of God is coming upon sin. And number two, I tell you another reason why we need the Lord is because of society's craziness. Now I want you to look at the progression that happens in our Bible when people neglect God. God starts talking about His wrath, and He starts talking about, now listen, people can realize there is a God. They know that by their conscience and by creation. But in verse 21, notice when people push God from them where it gets to. Did you know that when me and you live for God and we begin to push Him to the backside, me and you can get in the same place as this world is in this morning? Watch your Bible. He said in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. There's one God this morning. He's on the throne. He lives in heaven. And we that are saved, He lives in our heart. Watch this. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. I tell you what you better do. You better throw your little Baptist hand toward heaven. Your little Church of God hand toward heaven, your Methodist hand toward heaven, and say, thank you, God, for how good that you've been to me. By the way, the Baptist Church ain't getting you to heaven. Jesus is getting you to heaven. We got a multitude sitting here this morning. I'm not a Baptist bride, or I don't believe only Baptists are going to heaven. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. We're going to heaven, and we're going by the blood of Christ that hung on Calvary's tree, that shed His blood for your sin and my sin this morning. We all ain't got to dot our I's and cross our T's, but we better be on home based on one thing, honey, and that's the blood of Jesus that takes away all of our sins. Now, that rabbit got up. I thought I'd run it a minute. I'm an old rabbit hunter, and I love rabbit. Amen. It'd do some of y'all good to go to eating out of fence rows and brush piles again. Done got too highfalutin, got unthankful. Some of y'all wouldn't know what to do. A good pan of fried rabbit, white milk gravy, and lard biscuits. Somebody say. Society's craziness. Now watch this. They wouldn't glorify God as God, and neither were they thankful. I want to read this verse to you. It come up in prayer room this morning. Matter of fact, everything I've heard this morning is lined right up with this sermon. Watch your Bible. He said in James 1 and 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of his turning. So that reminds me, where my bread's buttered, honey, it ain't up yonder, it ain't through yonder, but it's up yonder. And I say, thank you, God, how good you've been to me. It's still right to thank Him. Society's craziness. Watch this now. They neglect God. They won't be thankful to Him. They don't acknowledge Him as God. Verse 22. Look what it says. Their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. In other words, if you try to walk through this world without God, the Bible says you're a fool. You're a fool. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, the birds, four-footed beasts, and crew. In other words, they made them idols. Have you noticed folks worship something? It may be a ball game flag. It may be a race car flag. But you're going to worship something. And God says there's not to be any other gods before us. We're not to worship our money, not to worship our things. We're not even to worship our children. We're to worship God. For He is a jealous God and a true God this morning. Verse 24, I want you to notice this. Verse 24, underline this. Now wherefore, when they would not attain God in their knowledge, they would not honor Him as God, they would not become thankful, their minds became darkened and they became fools. Look, verse 24. God gave them up. Look in verse 26. God gave them up again. It's a progression. But now watch this. In verse 28, God gave them over. There's a lot of people God has gave up to, but they could get back. There's some that God has gave up to, but they could get back. But honey, when God gives them over, let me tell you, a man can go too far with God. And that's what we've lost fear in our nation. We've lost fear in our churches. Live anyway. Do anyway. Honey, this Bible is a pure way. It's a holy way. Now he says this. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. You better hope God don't turn you over to you. Because if God turns me over to me, I'm in trouble. If I keep resisting Him and resisting the teachings of this Bible, He has no other option but to turn me over to it. Look what He says, to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. It's a progression. When you say, I don't need God, your life is going to progressively get bad. Young people, let this preacher help you today with this Bible. This ain't my opinion. I didn't write this Bible. Don't get mad at you, preacher. I didn't write the Bible. You ought to thank God you've got a preacher that'll still preach to you out of the Bible. There's a lot of congregations get this side. They don't want that preaching. I had a young man come out of this church the other day. There's a family that walked in preaching out of the same Bible. Their kids put their hands over their ears. About midway through the service, the mom and daddy got up and walked out on the sermon. Honey, let me tell you what. If you got to walk out, you just got to walk out. But I ain't a tying down. I'm telling you that Jesus saves and sin destroys. There's a heaven to gain and it's a hell to shut. You say you can't build a church on that kind of preaching. I know some boys trying. God still honors preaching. He chose the foolishness of preaching. Not entertainment. Not events. Not skits and dramas. But He chose the foolishness of preaching. How can they preach unless they're called? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. Let me settle down. Holy Ghost done stole the wind out of me this morning. I'm glad I serve a God can overwhelm me. Some of you are overwhelmed with your God. But I sure am glad I got a God that overwhelms me. Your gods will get you way away from the true God this morning. I need the Lord because I'm poor and needy. Renee, I'm poor and needy. Brother David, I'm poor and needy. We've got to have the Lord, Brother Lee. Brother Adam, you've got one of the brightest futures ahead of you preaching. But we're poor and needy. You see, we've got to have the Lord. Because there's a progression that starts. When you start putting God on the back burner, things progress in the wrong direction. That's where America is this morning.
Brother Donald said he'd be 83 years old, I think, Monday. I told Brother Donald, I said, Brother Donald, you've seen a lot of change in your time, haven't you, sir? He said, more than I'd ever dreamed. There's a progression. God gave them up. Then God gave them up. Then God gave them over. How sad. How pitiful to get to where God would not be your God. Now, society's craziness. The Bible said in verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error, which is meat. Homosexuality is a sin before God. It's not an acceptance in a lifestyle of Christianity. Biblical truths, God is against homosexuality. God is not confused on gender. God made you a woman. God made you a man for a reason. He wanted you to be a woman or a man. This bathroom stuff's the craziest thing I've ever seen since I've been born. They're perverts wanting to get to your children. Perversion. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gives them time, God gives them chance, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I want to say something. I think God can do anything. I don't think it's nothing too hard for the Lord. But I believe it's a time in a person's life you can go too far with God. Verse 28. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. It does matter what God says. It does matter what God thinks. Now, watch this. Verse 29. I want to deal with these issues, then we're done. Being filled with all unrighteousness. I'm going to tell you why I need the Lord, because of society's craziness. We live in a crazy society. And this, you know, a lot of times we become so hardened to it, we just sort of laugh it off. Well, that's not new. And I know this world's been crazy a long time, but this world's got to a new crazy. And it's no reason that craziness can come in your family and in your church. Stand against craziness. Teach your children right from wrong. And the only way you're going to do that, it's not by your opinions, it's what this book says. If your opinions don't line up with this book, then your opinions are wrong. No, it's a hard sermon today, but it's a truthful sermon. Now watch your Bible. Verse 29. In other words, this is where I'm getting to now. I know I've run everywhere, but I'm fixing to close this thing down to where I want to get. This is what I want you to see this morning, why we need God. Because when you push God away, the further away you get, the further away He gets, and you'll look around and say, Lord, how did I ever get there? That's where our nation is today. I want you to think about, before I go on this, I'm going to make a statement. You that was raised in the 50s, 60s, you remember most of the culture, it was Bible-based. Everybody went to church on Sunday, and they had preachers that'd preach. Matter of fact, if a preacher didn't preach, they'd get rid of him. Now they get rid of him if he preaches. And so what happened, God struck the fear of God in the congregations across this whole South. When I went to school, you never heard profanity and cursing. You never heard that. And you can see as we start sliding away from God where we go as a nation, as a community, as a church, as a family. Now watch the progression. We become unthankful. That's your first problem. And then when you become unthankful, you'll start worshiping something else. You hear me? Is the bell ringing? When you become unthankful, you'll start worshiping something else. A farm? A ball team? A child? A job? You better remember where your bread's buttered. And when you're being thankful to Him, you'll keep your heart worshiping to Him. You know what worship means? It means to adore. Thank you. Thank you! People come visit and they say, well, why does people get so emotional? It ain't emotion, it's worship. Thank you! You'll go to the ball game, shout, why don't you come to the house of God and say nothing for Jesus? Well, let me get settled down. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Immorality is the moral standard in our society. Immorality is the standard in our society. We don't blush anymore. Premarital sex is still wrong. And I know it's quiet, but you've got a preacher, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to keep your kids out of trouble. Wickedness. You know what that word means? Hostility to good. Covetousness. It's gambling. It's maxing out credit to the max, and you can't even see above it no more. Wanting something that we don't even need. Maliciousness. That's the desire to injury. Envy. That's hateful attitude toward others. Won't you pray for your enemies? Murder. Abortion belongs here. Debate. That's love of strife and contentions. Lord, our legislation is full of debate. Contentions. Deceit, that's a way of life. Our word ought to be our bond. How many of you are in business today that somebody took you? We ought to not need a contract as a Christian. Our word ought to be our word. Malignity. That's habitually mischievous. Whisperers, that secret slandering. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? Let me ask you something. You got proof about so-and-so? If you don't, shut your mouth. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about that preacher down there? Before you join their church, they read you W-2s. That's the craziest stuff I ever heard in my life. Now, turn me on. This is going to be a good sermon. I'm about done. Backbiters. That's open slandery. Haters of God. Blaming God for your troubles. Despiteful. Look here. Proud. Boy, ain't it something where we can get leaving God behind? You know what proud, this word proud is self-esteem, pride. Look what I did. Look what I remind you, John 15, he said without me talking about Jesus, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. He gave you the breath to breathe. It sickens me about pride, sickens me worse than anything.
If any of you have got anything this morning, it's because the God of glory blessed you with it. And you ought to learn to say, thank you, how good you've been to me. He's given you, He's given me opportunities that nobody else ever had. And I say thank you. And I'm not going to apologize for the blessings of God. God has blessed me and my family. And I'll tell you one reason He's blessed us, because we've worked hard. And we've tried to do it right. And I'm not going to apologize for the blessings of God. And you ought to not have to apologize for your blessing from God. But we all can say, thank you. You say, Lord, what'd you eat this morning? Cheerios. Boasters. That's exaggerators. Exaggerating one's performance. Inventors of evil things. Woo! Disobedient to parents. Isn't that something? Some of you mom and daddies need to get rid of that time out and take time out and tear their britches up and discipline them right according to the Bible and teach them good morals and manners. They get to screaming and kick them. They going to scream and kick. But if you let them know who the boss is, instead of throwing them a Nintendo, put them in the corner and say, that's your punishment. Boy, that's a lot of punishment. Disobedient to parents, so disrespectful. You young'uns ought to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You ought to do your chores. You ought to try to help around the house. You ought to help your mom and daddies. Who's paying the phone bills? Who's paying the car insurance? You say, I ain't got no say-so. You need to come see me after service. I can tell you how to have say-so. You cut the water off. Without understanding, cannot discern the truth. Covenant breakers. I want to say something about marriage right there. We went into a marriage covenant with one another. We ought to keep our promise. Life's hard. Marriage is tough. Raising kids are hard. But let me tell you something. There's nobody on the sound of my voice this morning that God can't help you through whatever you're going through. Me and my wife have had a lot of troubles in 38 years. I've walked in sometime, Brother Lee, and said, how will we make it? I can tell you how we made it. I've looked around the congregation. I've walked up to some old men and said, how did y'all make it? Said, Brother Ken, I tell you what we've done. We'd come to church every Sunday. We'd try to apply our life, and God helped us through the situation. Can I tell you, there's still a God that helped you through your situation this morning? You don't just throw the towel in and quit. You don't get nowhere doing that. Truth breakers. Because they wouldn't like to retain God in their knowledge. I've got too smart for you. I've got too blessed for you. I'm too big for you. Without natural affection. Implacable, that's unreasonable. And then lastly, look at this. I'm done preaching. Unmerciful. A lack of kindness. Show mercy to people. Lack of kindness. Whatever happened to just old-fashioned kindness? I was down at the hardware store down at Messer's the other morning. Went in, and there's a lady coming in. I stopped my head at the door. And she walked up to me, and she said, well, thank the Lord, they still some southern gentlemen. Kindness. It's still good to be good to people. It's still right to raise your children right. It's still right, mom and daddies, to keep God in the center and focus of your home. Miss Sherry, won't you come? I need the Lord because of the sinner's curse. I need the Lord because sin's cost. I need the Lord because society's craze. But I'm going to tell you something. In Luke 12:35, I need the Lord because of the Savior soon coming. Luke 12:35. God, give me this verse this morning. I know I've been a little lengthy, but I'm going to read this. I'm not apologizing about preaching this morning. I've done what the Lord wants me to do.
Luke 12:35, I need the Lord because the Savior's soon coming. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. I want to say this. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you. Sherry's going to play. Jesus saves. Jesus forgives. You may be here this morning. You've never been saved by the grace of God. Did you know the Lord Jesus would save you if you'd come to Him by faith today? And then secondly, Mom and Daddies, you ain't got to tell this preacher it's hard. You're looking at the real deal, honey. I know it's hard. But I done found out the God of this Bible will forgive me if I asked Him. And I done found out the Spirit of God that lives in me will let me do right if I will submit to Him. But it's up to us. And I don't know what you need this morning. I know many's already come, but I want to open this altar. If you're here and you've never been saved, it'd be a good morning to give your life to Jesus. Don't push Him away. You're going to get worse. Some of you here this morning, you've been saved. You sort of pushed Him away. It'd be a good morning to come to Him. Would you come? While we play, would you come this morning?